Now, it was 20 years ago after the September 11th attacks when U.S.-led forces in Afghanistan removed the Taliban from power. They were accused of providing a sanctuary for Osama bin Laden and his al-Qaeda followers. Fast forward to 2018, they entered direct talks with the U.S., leading to a peace deal in early 2020. Over the next year, they targeted Afghan security forces and civilians. And this year, while the U.S. was pulling its troops out of the country, the Taliban rapidly took back territory, including the capital city of Kabul a couple weeks ago. Since then, thousands of Afghans have been trying to leave the country before the deadline when all U.S. troops are being pulled out. So who are the Taliban and what do they want? John Haltewanger is a senior politics reporter at Business Insider. He focuses on national security and foreign policy. John, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Well, I remember back in the early 90s, Soviet troops left Afghanistan and the civil war, and this group seemingly came out of nowhere, the Taliban. Can you talk a little bit about their origins?
Right. So the Taliban was originally founded by militants who had essentially been resistance fighters against the Soviets while they were there. The Soviets were in Afghanistan attempting to prop up a communist government. And one kind of ironic fact here is that in the late 80s, Ashraf Ghani, the Afghan president who recently fled the country, was teaching in the United States at the time and wrote an op-ed in the Los Angeles Times warning that as soon as the Soviets leave, the flimsy propped up government is going to fall. And that's effectively what we saw with Ghani's government as well and the rapid gains that the Taliban made, which you just alluded to.
Can you talk about some of the core ideologies of the Taliban and how that informs the way they run a government then and presumably now?
Right. So the Taliban was originally in control from 1996 to 2001. They came to power after a very bloody civil war that followed the Soviet withdrawal. The Taliban takes a very strict interpretation of the Muslims' religious text, the Quran. And during their initial rule, they implemented their rules based on their fundamentalist religion. And they did so in a very harsh and often public and brutal fashion. This could include public executions for those who were found to be violating the laws. It was especially tough on women. They were not allowed to pursue an education. They were not allowed to run or open businesses. So these are the kind of things that people are fearing are going to return in Afghanistan now that the Taliban is back in control. The Taliban has attempted to pose as a more moderate group, effectively saying to the world, hey, we've changed. But we've seen few signs of that in recent years. As you kind of noted in the run-up to our conversation here, they were waging a very brutal campaign to retake control of the country. They've been terrorizing Afghanistan for years, waging this brutal insurgency to get back into power after being pushed out by the U.S. via the initial invasion in 2001. So yes, they're an Islamist militant group with a very fundamentalist interpretation of the Quran. And Afghans are very concerned about what their future will look like again with this group back in control.
We're talking to John Haltewanger, senior politics reporter at Business Insider, looking at the Taliban, who they are, what motivates them as they retake control of Afghanistan. John, of course, the initial U.S. attack on Afghanistan came after the 9/11 attacks. The aim was to disrupt al-Qaeda and overthrow the Taliban, for giving sanctuary, in effect, shelter to al-Qaeda in the borders of Afghanistan. What are we hearing from the Taliban when it comes to al-Qaeda and whether they are going to allow them to operate in their borders?
Well, the Taliban has claimed that, and this was part of the deal that the Trump administration brokered with the Taliban in terms of pulling out U.S. troops, they've promised and claimed that Afghanistan will not be a launching pad for terror attacks, which, of course, was the initial cause for the invasion, the fact that they had opened their doors to al-Qaeda and Osama bin Laden. I do think it's worth noting that Osama bin Laden fled the country quite early on in terms of the U.S. presence there in December 2001 and went into Pakistan, but we remained for various reasons under various administrations. But the Taliban, yes, they are trying to convince the world that Afghanistan will be totally safe under their rule. Afghanistan will not be a safe haven for terrorists. I've spoken with a lot of top terrorism analysts in the past week who are quite skeptical of this. One said there's zero question that Afghanistan will again become a safe haven for terrorist groups. We've already seen in the past week this group, ISIS Khorasan, ISIS-K, which is the Islamic State's affiliate, is a threat in Afghanistan, conducting an attack that killed scores in Kabul last week, including 13 U.S. service members. But it is worth noting, however, that the Taliban and ISIS-K are sworn enemies. ISIS-K actually views the Taliban as apostates, essentially not devout enough when it comes to how they adhere to Islam. But there are those who do think the Taliban still has ongoing connections with al-Qaeda, and al-Qaeda was celebrating the Taliban regaining control of Afghanistan. So that has continued to drive these concerns that Afghanistan will once again be this base for extremist groups.
Let's bring on a caller now. Jeff is with us in Ferryville. Jeff, hi.
No, it's Barry Mills.
Barry Mills. I'm sorry. I think we had a mishearing of you. But Barry Mills, Jeff, and go ahead.
I was just wondering about the difference between the Mujahideen that were fighting the Russians when the Russians were trying to were occupying Afghanistan, and the relationship between the Mujahideen and the Taliban. And I guess I'll just listen to your answer on the radio.
Jeff, thanks a lot for the call. Can you connect the dots for us, John?
Sure. That's a great question. The Mujahideen, some of those fighters did end up going on to found the Taliban, but not all of them. Not all of them were on the same page. And we're even seeing that right now, where the son of a legendary Mujahideen fighter in northern Afghanistan is trying to lead this resistance against the Taliban. So that word Mujahideen basically means freedom fighter, resistance fighter. They didn't necessarily agree with everything the Taliban was trying to do in terms of instituting this very, very strict fundamentalist interpretation of Islam. But yes, they were associated with one another in terms of this fight against the Soviets. And yes, there were, this point is often brought up in terms of U.S. policy in the region. There were resistance fighters that were funded by the CIA at the time. So the U.S. has had involvement in Afghanistan in various forms for decades.
Thanks a lot for that call, Jeff. John, one outside power and inside government has found out over the decades after another has found out over the decades that it is very hard to take complete control of Afghanistan. There have been reports of protests and some resistance in some provinces of Afghanistan. How far are the Taliban from complete control of the country at this point?
Well, even during their initial rule from 1996 to 2001, some analysts said they were really only control of, 90 to 95% of the country. So it is indeed a very unruly place. Biden alluded to it in a recent speech. It's often been referred to as the graveyard of empires. The British Empire failed there. The Soviets failed there. Gorbachev, who believe it or not is still alive, recently talked about the U.S. war there and said it was a failed enterprise from the start. And he is someone who would know, having overseen some of the Soviet presence there. So yes, there are elements of opposition to the Taliban already. We've already seen some violent crackdowns on that. Involving firing at crowds of protesters. So this is the type of things that people are afraid are going to occur on the ground, that the Taliban is saying, we're a change group. We're going to grant amnesty to these folks who may have worked for the U.S. government as translators or in another capacity, or worked for the U.S.-backed government in Kabul. But there are many reasons to be skeptical, particularly given what we've already seen and how they're responding to any dissent or opposition to their rule.
One complicating factor, more complicating factor we haven't got into, the relationship between Pakistan and the Taliban. Can you talk about that a little?
Right. So Pakistan has often been accused of being kind of de facto supporters of the Taliban. I've seen some analysts essentially say the biggest winners here are Pakistan. They will now see, or at least the thought is that they will now see extremists in some of their more rural, isolated areas, flood into Afghanistan and be less of a problem for them, and that Afghanistan will effectively be kind of a puppet state in the region. This is an interesting concern. It's certainly something to watch and observe. We've also seen concerns about whether China will try to have a bigger footprint in Afghanistan, or at least influence in Afghanistan. It's had communications with the Taliban in recent weeks. So there's a lot of concerns moving forward about what geopolitical forces will converge upon Afghanistan as the Taliban is desperate to assert a sense of legitimacy, to gain the international community's trust to a certain extent, because it's in economic trouble with all of these organizations leaving Afghanistan and taking all the funds that they brought with them during that departure. So from an economic standpoint, the Taliban's going to be in a lot of trouble moving forward. And any governments that step in and offer any type of support will have a lot of influence there moving forward.
John, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
John Haltewanger is a senior politics reporter at Business Insider, where he focuses on national security and foreign policy. We talked to him today about the Taliban.